A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
It brings light. It brings deliverance. It brings healing. Daddy, we'll stick unto this morning in the name of Jesus. That as we'll touch your word, as we'll speak your word this morning in the name of Jesus, we pray that your presence will dwell with us in the name of Jesus. Daddy, let your word come powerfully this morning. I'm just a vessel, Lord. I have no power of my own, but ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Daddy, as I bring your word to your people, speak through me, O Lord. Not the word that will come from my own thinking, O Lord, but the word that will come from above in the name of Jesus. Let this congregation hear your word. Daddy, will take away every wax of deafness this morning. Every hardened heart, Lord, will take away in the name of Jesus. Let your word penetrate into our hearts, O Lord. Let it penetrate into our life, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. As everyone listens to you today, Daddy, our life will not remain the same. Daddy, show us the wonder in your word in the name of Jesus. Help me today, Lord. Let this congregation hear you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And let your name be glorified at the end of the day. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. 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 Let's all have our seats. I welcome everyone into the presence of God. It's a great privilege, again, to come before this great congregation. Sometimes I forget, but thank God for our pastors for always reminding me of my duties, you know. Because sometimes I always say, maybe I'm not going to come back and give the word, but Pastor Winford will say, oh, check the rota. You are coming here. And I thank God for the grace. I ask for more help of the Holy Spirit, even to do this in the name of Jesus. I welcome everyone, and I welcome our senior pastor. I do not take this for granted. Thank you, Ma, and thank you for your prayers on us as well, even for myself, my family. I thank our resident pastors, every elders, and this lovely congregation. This month, we've touched on testimony of wonders. And this has come from book of Hebrews, chapter 2, from verse 3 to 4. But, you know, we've gone through this. I believe Pastor 2 has sent so many messages through the church WhatsApp. I always go through them just to, you know, have more understanding of what it means. It's more than just giving a testimony. This is talking about salvation. And when we talk of salvation, everyone needs salvation. The purpose why we're living on earth is that we are enjoying the salvation which Christ Jesus has brought on us. And we should not take this for granted. It is very, very important for every believer, for every Christian. Now, the book of Hebrews is encouraging us about our Christian life. Also, it's telling us about the comfort that comes with living with Christ. And at the end of it, it's giving us a warning, a sound warning, that what we enjoy in Christ, we have to cherish it. We have to hold it. We must know that it's more important than any other thing in our life. Salvation is one important thing that every Christian should know, and we mustn't take it lightly. That's why I've gathered some messages through the help of God. And you know, I titled today's messages, Pressing Unto Perfection. That is what I titled my message, Pressing Unto Perfection. So if we go to the book of Hebrews, please, and I'll read quickly from chapter 2. I'll read from verse 1 down to 4. I will stop there, then we'll carry on. I'll read Hebrews chapter 2 and from verse 1. We must pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience receives its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? In question mark. This salvation which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Verse 4, God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gift of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will, according to the will of God. Let's go back to verse 3 of this message. That is the most important here. And this verse leads up to every area in the book of Hebrews. It is very important. I'll read verse 3 again. It said, I'll read from verse 2. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard it. When we say something is binding in law, that means it's very effective. There is no way you come into an agreement. When something is binding, you should know that you must not violate the terms of that contract. Now listen, there is a thin line between rejection and neglecting. Hebrews is telling us not to neglect that great salvation. It's a sound of warning to everyone. When you accept something, when you accept, that means you want it wholeheartedly. And this is speaking to us, especially Christians. It's telling us that when we accept the salvation of Jesus, this great salvation which the Lord has brought into us, we will examine a chapter where that promise came. We will go into it. But I'm just telling us this morning about what we meant by neglecting or rejecting. Here he's saying, telling us not to neglect. That means we have accepted. We have accepted. And I'll just say this in a simple term. I say when a woman gives birth to a child, just like our brother came out this morning and he was explaining about Gideon, telling us a testimony. He knew Gideon was his child. He was there at the birth. Mom conceived Gideon. She gave birth to Gideon. When Gideon came, they accepted Gideon. They named him. Everyone knew these are Gideon's parents. That means acceptance. They love him. They cared for him. Every responsibility about Gideon rests on them. But when Gideon is growing, the most important thing is that they should be concerned about Gideon's development. I'm only citing an example with our brother this morning. That means Gideon belongs to them. They will look after Gideon. They will cherish him. He is their son. That means acceptance. That is what Jesus has brought unto us. He brought us salvation. When he came, we accepted it. This Bible, we'll continue with the verse. He said Jesus came in the form of man. He was conceived, he was born, and he lived with everyone. We saw him. He took the pains that we took. Now when I would go back to Gideon, if Gideon is growing up, they have to look after him to make sure that his development is proper and just. If anything happens, there will be question. Remember here, everyone that works in the care industry or whatever, one thing you mustn't do at work is neglect. If you neglect anything, a person in care of you, you're going into prison. There will be a problem. That is as simple as what is telling us here. That we've accepted this. Jesus has come with salvation. Salvation is so great. He has come to save mankind. And you know, if for us to experience, to enjoy this, we must walk in line with our God. Now, that is what we call acceptance. Now, once we accept, we must not neglect. You see, when some other people have their children, when they have the pregnancy, it is there. Even before they have the child, they are already calling the social services, telling them, as soon as this child comes out, I don't want to have anything to do with the child. Rejection. They reject the child. Say, take him away. I don't want anything to do with him. I'm not accepting the child. Just go, take him. I don't want anything to do with him. Now, Jesus came. The Lord, let's check quickly. We'll go into the book of, let's see where this promise came and which we are enjoying. You know, I will go back to the Old Testament for all the sins, for everything that happened, because there is no way we can touch the book of Hebrews without referring to the Old Testament. We should know that. It has to be in reference with the Old Testament. What the children of Israel went through, all the things that happened, then the Lord said, too much atrocity, too much sins. I want a new covenant with these people because I love them. The love of the Father on his children. He now said, I would give you a savior, someone that would come in and help you because I want a new life. Let every whole thing just go away. Now there should be a new beginning. And the Lord promised, if we see in the book of Matthew, please let's check quickly. In the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew 1 and 21. If anyone is there, please, you can read. Matthew 1, 21.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. And his name is Jesus. That was what God said. And he said, she shall bring forth a child, and his name is Jesus. And the reason why Jesus is coming is what? To save us from our sins. And this is what we call salvation, is a true message. And when Jesus came, in Acts chapter 4, Acts of Apostles chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's read it as well and see what Acts of Apostles says. Acts of Apostles chapter 4 and verse 12. We see what the book of Acts as well says. If anyone is there, please read. It said, there is no other name in which we can be saved on this except through the name of Jesus. Except through the name of Jesus. People of God, there is a need for salvation. There is a need for us to repent. There is a need for us to go into a new life with Christ. And the reason why this has to be done is that Jesus will come as a son. God wants us to know. He wants us to feel it. When I'm sitting down with my dad, I know he's my dad. When I'm going through pains, I know he can feel the pains with me. Even if he goes to work, he's tired. If he kicks his feet against the wall, you can see he feels the pain. He came in human form. That is how Christ did. He dwelt amongst men. He was born. He dwelt amongst men. And he suffered. He suffered so that we can live. He took every burden upon himself so that we can live, so that we can live a better life. He felt our pains. He felt our grief. And when someone is next to you, you can definitely know. If someone is next to you, you can know. He's feeling what you are feeling. He came in human flesh. That is what this Hebrews is telling us. Please, we would continue with, we'll read further from verse 2. And let's take this verse very seriously. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Take it seriously because it's referring to yourself, it's referring to me. That we should not in any way neglect this great salvation. It is called a great salvation. You know, David was saying in the book of Psalms, he was saying that Lord saved him from the pit of hell. When we hear about the hell as Christians, we don't want to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. We don't neglect when it comes to hell. Why do we neglect when it comes to sin? We think, oh, we can just sin as Christians, then we can come back and ask for forgiveness. The Lord is saying, no, we should live a right and just life according to the pattern which Christ lived. Christ came as a man. But you know what the Bible said? He said he did not sin. Jesus did not sin. He came in flesh. He came in blood. But he did not sin. Only one thing was in his mind, is the salvation for you and I. That was the most important thing to him. He knew what he was coming for. He did not deviate. He did not neglect his duty, his assignment. Because of what? Because he was ready to satisfy God, because the Lord was angry. All we need to do was to come back to him. And he says the only way where we can do this is through his son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I'm making sense, church. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. It is important for us to know that the salvation of man is at the heart of the Lord. It gives us change, the chance. It gives us that chance to come out of the judgment of the law, which was in the Old Testament. An eye for an eye. If you violate the rules, if you violate the law, you will be punished. You will be dealt with. But Jesus, but the Lord says, through Jesus, my son, I will give room for repentance. It will bring salvation unto you, that you can come back through him. Even if you've gone astray, I'm still ready to accept you. Then come back to me. He said he gave us that chance to come back to him, to come out of that judgment of law and go into new covenant with his son, Christ Jesus, who came and dwelt amongst us, among men. He suffered and died, not only for forgiveness of our sins, but he rose to conquer the power of death, which the devil hold. The Lord himself, our Father in heaven, knew that Satan has that power. Remember, when we talk of salvation, Jesus Christ came to save us not only from oppression, not only from that sin, but from the power of death, which the devil was holding. Devil had that power, and God knew. He said, well, I will send my son. He will dwell among these people. All they need is to just accept him. That Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. Whatever you say I will do, I will do. I will not neglect this great salvation. Imagine Christ coming. He lived with us just for purpose. And that purpose is not only for forgiveness of sin, church. It's to conquer the power of death. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we must take this great salvation. We must take it seriously. We must never neglect it. We care about salvation from the pit of hell, but we are neglecting the salvation from sin. We should remember. We should be concerned that we should not go back. We're still going to touch chapter 6 of this Hebrews, because chapter 6 is telling us that we should come out of taking milk as a child, as Christians. You know, when we accept this salvation, the Lord wants us to grow into maturity. Let us grow into maturity in it. What the Lord is telling us is that we shouldn't be like babies. We should be serious. Take this serious. That is a great salvation. When there is repentance of sin, let us know that there will be total repentance. The Lord did not give us only Jesus. When he gave us Jesus, we accepted Christ into our life. And one thing he gave us as well is the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And we should know that when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we should know when to deviate from right and wrong. He says it will help us. We must not be like babies. We should grow into maturity. Stop living on milk. When we go back to sin after accepting Christ, when we keep on sinning, it's like nailing Christ back to the cross. That is what he's telling us here. He said when we accept him, he's good, he's there for us to save us. We're living a good life. Remember, Hebrews is telling us about that good life we can live. It's telling us about the comfort we can enjoy. but it's sounding warning to us, giving us a note of warning, that after enjoying this great salvation, after Christ has been here, he doesn't want us to go back to sinning. The good Lord will help us. He will give us that desire, that heart to stay steadfast and not to keep going back into sin in the name of Jesus. Some people will say, oh, I don't know, I've gone back into sinning. But we pray for consciousness of the Holy Spirit. When he dwells in us, we would know. We would know when we were doing wrong. It would alert us. That is why the Holy Spirit is there. Alertness of our hearts is to tell us that, no, you shouldn't do that. This is a great salvation. Cherish it. It's good for you. So here we'll go on and we'll read Hebrews 2. Please, let's go on from verse 5. He said, I'll read chapter 2 from verse 5. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, but which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone had testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you came for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. It's because our Lord God, he loved us. He loved us. Remember, he created Adam in his own image. Adam could have come as an animal. But God said, let him come. Let us make man in our own image. Lord created. He made Adam in his own image. So he loved us and he cared about us. And after going through all these sins and things, he said, let a savior come. And let him bring life. Let him bring a new covenant where my people can dwell with him and come back to me. Why did Jesus come in flesh and blood? Because children came in flesh and blood. That is humans. We came in flesh and blood. So he can stay. He took part of the same. So he can die and take away our sins. He came. He took part. He felt our pain. He felt everything. Thank you, Jesus. If we check 2:17, chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Thank you, Mom. He said, so we are called brothers and sisters to Christ. Yes. Minister Clara was here this morning. I didn't know she would come with that. It's just telling you, same thing. She read Romans 12, isn't it, Ma? Romans 12 from verse 1. He said, what a great privilege to be called brothers and sisters. That means he was next to us. I can call Minister Favor my sister. I can call our daddy here my brother. I can call Pastor Winford my brother. It's because he is very close to us, feeling the pains that we felt. He came, he knew what we had in mind. And there is a purpose why he has come. It's to save us, it's to help us. And even Jesus, when Mary Magdalene went looking for him, let's turn to John quickly. John 20 and verse 17.
John 20, 17.
Yes, reads, ma'am.
Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, hallelujah, to my God and your God. Hallelujah.
What a great privilege, people of God, to be called sons of the Most High. What a great privilege to be called brothers and sisters of Christ. Look, we are in capable hands. When we value what we have, we are in capable hands. God help us with anxiety, with stress, with all those things. If we know the value of the God we have, we don't have to worry. He said, tell them, he's going to Father, your Father and my Father. What a great privilege. Go and tell my brothers, my sisters. So it tells you that I have a dad. when my dad was alive, you know, I can tell you that I would take good care of me. I would say to him, oh, dad, this is what I want. When I was little, he would tell me, oh, what do you want to become? I said, dad, I want to become a lawyer. He said, you must study very hard, but I will make sure I'll pay for your fees and do everything. And he's a man, but he stood to his word. And I was looking forward to him all the time, that dad will be there. Even when I bring bills home that, you know, it's more than what I should be asking for, he never says no to me. He knew I shouldn't be asking for such an amount, but he would never say no. What he would tell me is, make sure you face your studies. Make sure you do well. God is telling us this morning that he is there to look after us. He's our daddy. He's our daddy. He said he's our father. Jesus next to us is our father as well. Let us know that. Jesus calls us brother and sisters when he dwells amongst men. He's telling you that I am here for you. What you feel, I'm feeling it. The pains you go through, I'm going through it. But my Father in heaven has sent me to you for here for a purpose. It's to bring you salvation. But do not neglect this great salvation. Cherish it. This is what you have. It's very vital. It's important. May the good Lord help us, church. May the good Lord help us. When capable hands, he who have Christ has everything. He who knows his relationship with the Father must take it seriously. We are in capable hands. When we know the God we serve, we are in capable hands. What a privilege to become the Son of God, to be called the children of God. Sonship, it is very important. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did he die? Because Satan had the power of death right from the day of Adam. The truth of the scripture is this. And the only way that Satan could be defeated, we will see in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 2. He said the only way he could be defeated was to come as a man, you know. And somebody dying perfectly in a way that you will see that this person really suffered just for my sake. It will only take the grace of God for someone out of the street to die because of me. Because he will tell me, I'm sorry, I don't know you. If you're having any problem, go to the council. They are there to help you. If you're having any financial problem, go to Citizens Advice. They are there to help you. If you think you don't know your way, go to the nearest place. Check your phone. You get direction from there. That is man. It's easy. They will tell you, I'm sorry, I don't know you. But God is saying, I know you. Amen. Jesus is saying, you are my brother. You are my sister. Our Lord God is heaven. He's saying, you are my son. You are my daughter. Amen. I'm in charge. I will look after you. It's a great salvation, people of God. Hebrews chapter 2, 3 is telling us that we should not neglect this great salvation. Because we can be punished if we do so. We can suffer, we can go astray if we do so. If you know what your father can give to you, and you go out on the street looking for someone else who cannot help you, that means you do not understand the relationship you have with the Father. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help us. Amen. In our life, in our Christian life, I will understand our relationship with our God. It is very, very important. The Holy Spirit will keep alerting us at all times that indeed we have a Father and he has sent a Savior. That Jesus which he sent at this time is still present till today. Church, he is there, he is alive. That's why we can call on him at any time. We don't need a phone call. All we need to do is to pray. He's there to answer us. We can see that Jesus, he took away all this power from Satan, the power of death. He took away, he made Satan powerless. Because he says the only way I will do is for Christ to come and save you and help you out in all ways. Thank you, Lord. And he talks about this fear we have. If we go from verse chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, you know, when we sin, sin is a very terrible thing. If we know we are not in accord with God, and we sin all the time, the consciousness of you going into sin is there. And you know, because we know, we are slaves to that sin. It makes us slaves. Whatever we fear, whatever we get scared of, we turn to slave into that thing. Because that is always happening, it's always coming to us all the time. Then man will say, oh no, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. You know, then sin becomes, we become slaves to it. Hebrews is telling us here, if we read chapter 2, verse 15, and I'll read, we have that fear of death. We are subject to what? To bondage. We see what's saying there. We are subject to, because people have, once you have that fear of death, you see, Jesus came, he brought us life. He came to save us, even to get that power of death away from Satan. Because when you live in fear, you are in bondage. We should know that, church, when we live in fear. So we might be free from the power of death. We should know that when Jesus conquered the power of death, Satan had no power anymore. Amen. He had no power. Every human being in the world lives in slavery into the fear of death. That is what the fear of death brings. Oh, I don't want to die of cancer. Oh, you know, I don't want to have an accident. Oh, I might lose my job tomorrow. All this fear we live in, we live with that fear. Then we are subject, we become slaves to it. But do you know, brethren, we are not supposed to live in the fear of death. Because that's why Jesus died, to take away the power from the devil. To be free from the fear of death, you have to believe that someone died to take away fear of death. We need to believe. People of God, we need to have that belief. We need to know that indeed Jesus came. He lived amongst men in flesh, in blood. He came in human form and he died. Just that belief on his own would help us out. That's why Jesus had to take on flesh and blood. It's a wonderful thing to be free from fear of death. The Lord doesn't want us to go back into slavery. It is not good. Living a life of sin, we're still in bondage. We're putting ourselves into slavery because we fear and we live in fear all the time. It's a new life with Christ. It's a new covenant with him. And we should hold strong. We should cherish this great salvation which Christ has brought upon us. Church is a great dignity, and we must live with it that we are called the children of God. We should take fear away from our heart, take fear away from all that we do. We should live a just and right life, and we should be focused on the teaching of God. I pray that God will help us at all time in the name of Jesus. Amen. Apostles chapter 1. And from verse 21, Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, from verse 21. If we see there was a need after Jesus was crucified, after Jesus died. We can see there was a need to replace the betrayer. And we knew the betrayer was Judas Iscariot. And all the disciples, they gathered, they said, we need to replace him. You know, we need to carry on. But someone has to bear that witness. Please, Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, and from verse 21 down to 22, please. If anyone is there, please just read.
Acts of Apostles
1,
21 and 22.
Yes, sir.
Wherefore, of these men which have combined with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We must be a witness. Yes, that's where I'm going, sir. That we must be a witness. We are not only witness to Jesus' crucifixion, church, but we are witness to his resurrection.
Amen.
We are witness to his resurrection. That is what we should have in mind. Not only watching how Jesus was nailed to the cross or he was crucified, but we have to be witness to resurrection as well. Because he rose from the dead, even to conquer the power of death from Satan. And we thank God for this. And like I said earlier, he talks about that power of temptation. Temptation is something we should know. Christ is there for us. Hebrews is telling us about temptation. It's very easy, you know, when you are not conscious, it's very easy to fall back into temptation. But he says that Christ himself, he will help us. That he would help us to live a good life so that we can know that even when we are tempted, he can help us. That is the power. He conquers that power of temptation so that we don't go back into sinning. We can see that in so many years, during the days of Noah was preaching the gospel. You know, he was telling the people, change. Years were passing. You know, he was telling them. I'm sure when they go past, they say, oh, this old man is still here. He's still preaching. Day and night, when it rains, he's preaching. When the sun is out, he's preaching. He's telling them, know the way of salvation. The salvation is available. You know, he's telling them that there is God for them. This is in the Old Testament. Well, he's telling them there is God. You have a God. Come to the way of God. Know God. But you know what happened? God left them for so many years until one day when God's judgment came and we saw what happened. But now in Hebrews, God said, those days are gone, but now I want you to come back to me. You know, a way which will come is through Jesus. And he helped. So people that followed him, and you should know that when we go into this, there is an assurance. There is an assurance of safety. Now, we're going to chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews. And chapter 3, I would read from verse 17. It talks about our unbelief. Unbelief is not good, church. When we see what the children of Israel were passing through, even when God said to them that, you know, I am your God. Chapter 3, I said to you earlier, we cannot touch Hebrews without going back to the whole Testament. Chapter 3 is telling us about Numbers, the book of Numbers in chapter 49. When God was telling them, he said to the children of Israel, he said, go, move. I'm taking you into your promised land. He said, but go and fight these people, the Amalekites. Take over the land because I'm taking you into your place of rest. This is what chapter 3 is telling us. But the children of Israel did not believe. They struggled to understand the God they serve. You know, they were there as apart from Caleb and Joshua. They were there, you know, they were just doubting the power of God. And he's saying to them, you go. He's referring to them here about chapter 3. I would read from here. He's sounding a note of warning on unbelief as well. If you go into chapter 3 from verse, I'll read from verse 16. Who were they who had and believed? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was he not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? Verse 18, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter into his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? He's talking about them, the children of Israel. And this is telling us in Numbers. God said in the book of Numbers, God was saying to them then that enter into your place of rest. People, to enter into our place of rest, we have to believe God. And this is what salvation is talking about. There is a place of rest for every Christian, for every believer. He said, come to me, you will labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord is saying to us that there is a place of rest. They did not believe him. Instead of that, they were murmuring, they were grumbling. They were looking at what they've suffered in the past. Instead of them to concentrate on that promise of God, they deviated. You see, they were so concerned about the salvation to come out of slavery from Egypt. Church, do not forget. Lord will take us, out of our problems and things through that salvation of Christ. We're enjoying his salvation. When he takes us out of problems and things, then we said, oh yeah, I'm relaxed, I'm good. Everything is going on well. But he's saying to us, that salvation which has brought you out of this thing, cherish it. You know, walk in accord with God's plan, with the plan which Jesus has said. Now he said to them, you were concerned about coming out of Egypt. You know, you did not neglect that salvation. Now, just to enter into your promised land, you are neglecting that salvation to go into rest. That's a challenge to us, church. We should be more concerned about that salvation to go into rest. What a great salvation he has brought unto us. It's taking us out of slavery, taking us into our place of rest. This is the warning which Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 is telling us. He said, come out of all your bitterness, out of your worry, out of everything that has oppressed you, and come into a place of rest. I pray that we would not miss the opportunity in the name of Jesus, even to go into our place of rest. Caleb and Joshua hearkened to the voice of God. They said, oh, these people are just like bread to us. They said, we can hit them, they're our enemies, but we can hit them just like bread. Because they believe the word of God. He was taking them to somewhere. They believed him. And Caleb and Joshua, the Bible says, were up to like 600,000. You know, they missed it. Moses was leading them then. And after, God was sounding the note of warning to them, do not go back into sin. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. But they did not listen. They had one last chance until God said, no, I'm done. I'm finished. And you see, they did not enter into it. Only Caleb and Joshua went into, because God said that they had another spirit, a spirit which is the spirit of God, a spirit of obedience. They have ears that listens, and they had the voice of God. I pray that we will not miss our salvation in the name of Jesus. Please, church, we need to stay focused. You know, when God brings down everything that disturbs us, even those giants we call name, those giants we called, this is sickness, this is, I'm not having a job, my children are not doing well, you know, I don't have a wife, I'm single. You know, he's saying to us, if he, the Lord, can conquer the most difficult problem, which is taking that power away from Satan, the power of death, he said, how much more? He, the Lord, can do better. Nothing else can worry you. If you have that belief that I can take that power away from Satan, he would do the rest. Just like the Philistines were standing when David killed Goliath. You know, they were behind Goliath. They were looking, oh, this is our powerful man, warrior. What happened? When Goliath came down, they fled. The Lord is saying to us this morning that everything we think is a mountain before us, he has sent Christ down. We should live a victorious life. The purpose of salvation is to live a victorious life. And we'll be victorious in the name of Jesus. He said we should not let anger We should not let anger, bitterness, oh, this person has offended me, I'm not living well, all these things. We should not let any of it rule our life. We should not let worldly possessions, oh, this is all I want to have, this is all I want to be. We should not let it, you know, be the most important. All we have to do is to cherish our salvation. We should know what we have in Christ Jesus. That is what he's saying to us. He said he will root in our life. He will help us. Anything we'll do. You know, he is there for us, even to help us. And when we acknowledge his power and the help of the Holy Spirit, we are in charge. Because God is in charge. We're in charge of everything. We will not be slaves to sins anymore. But the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. When we are Christians, when we carry, you know, this title, we wear that privilege on us as children of God, and we know we boast of it. One thing we should know is that the Holy Spirit has that chance to dwell in us. When we give the Holy Spirit of God the chance, we should know we need to accept it. And when we claim it, it's said to us that we should not fall back into sin. You know, telling people, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that. And you're saying, oh, even with this Christ life I'm living, oh, the Holy Spirit couldn't help me. I'm falling back into sin. The Bible is telling us is an insult to God. It's insult to our Heavenly Father. It's not a way to go about it. You said you are a child of God. And you're saying, no, I didn't know when that happened to me. He said we have to be conscious at all times what we do and help the Holy Spirit to guide us. Falling back into the life of sin is like putting Christ back onto the cross, nailing him back onto the cross. Now going back again, asking for forgiveness. Oh, you should forgive me again. No, a steadfast life, a good life, is what we should live. Thank God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. So we would talk about what Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews 12 from verse 2 is saying. If we can check this quickly, even as I'm rounding up this message. Hebrews 12, please read from verse 2. Hebrews 12 from verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. It's telling us that Christ endured all these things, you see, just because of us. Please, church, the Bible is clear. It's saying it, that the benefit we enjoy, all these things we enjoy as children of God, we should just stay focused on them, but not to go back into sinning, not to go back, but we should cherish it. And Christ is there. He has done everything for us. Just to be steadfast and pay attention. We should keep our eyes on him. I want to encourage us to look at Jesus and look at him alone. We should stop this distraction. Stay focused on the truth, the way and the light. Turn away from hard-hearted worldly believers. So many people, I want to be like this person. I want to be like this. No. No, we don't have to be like anyone. We have to be. To say we want to be like Jesus. Let's stay focused and place our heart on God Most High. That is the thing. We should encourage ourselves. Let's look at Jesus and turn our hearts and eyes away from all the distractions. Stay focused on Christ and follow him by pressing on into perfection. If we go into the book of Hebrews and we read chapter 6 quickly, please. Okay. And I'll read this quickly. Chapter 6, I'll read from verse 11. He said, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, true by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word overhaul again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Please church, let's go on to solid food. Let's be matured. That is what the Bible is telling us. And lastly, if we check Philippians chapter 3 and see what Paul tells us in Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I'll read Philippians chapter 3 from verse 10. "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of resurrection and participate in the suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, do not consider yourself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenly wards in Christ Jesus." Please, church, let's follow this. This is what Paul is encouraging every believer to do. He said we should stay steadfast. He said, "I have not attained it. I'm still pressing on." This is what Hebrews is telling us, that we should press on. We should not neglect, but follow what Christ, this great salvation, the great salvation which Christ has brought for us. He said he's still pressing on. That is what should be in the minds of every believer. And the good Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. We're not perfect, but we have to cherish this great salvation. And I pray that the good Lord will help us in all of our ways, that we would follow Christ without any distraction. We will not neglect what is priority most in our lives, but we will take conscious, our mind will be conscious of the fact that, yes, indeed, we have a great salvation around us. It is good to be a child of God. It is good to be called a son of God. Brothers and sisters to Christ, we have a lot. We have a lot. God, Christ brought us a lot. We are his children. We are God's children. He has provision for everything. And he has been our Father. I pray that in the name of Jesus, we will not miss heaven. In the name of Jesus, the good Lord will continue to bless and help us. Thank you.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless. Yeah.